Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Me'ila Daf Ches. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief formatted introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today we begin the second perek of Me'ilah, the Mishnah that you see at Daf on Daf Ches. Before we learn the Mishnah, let's glance at the topic heading that we have included in the outside margin under the heading Nosei. And we have written Shlavim Shonim B'Chatas Of. We're going to speak about different stages in the processing of the sin offering in a bird form, a bird sin offering, a Chatas Of. Hukdasha. There is the sanctification, Nimlaka, the slaughtering, Huza Dama, and the sprinkling of its blood. Let us turn to the Mishnah. Chatas Oif Moyolin Ba Mishahukdasha. At the point that a bird sin offering is sanctified, if one were to derive personal benefit from it, he would be in violation of Me'ilah. So the Me'ilah prohibition sets in at the point it's sanctified. Nimlaka, at the point that it's slaughtered through the Malika method of slaughter. Hukshara liposel bitvul yoim uva mechusar kipurim ubalina. It then becomes subject to being rendered unfit by through contact with a tvul yom. A tvuyom is a person who had been tomei and is waiting for sundown to arrive. Prior to that, he immerses himself in a mikveh. At that point, he's called a tvuyom. Mechutzar Kippurim is a person who had been tomei, and even though he immersed himself in the mikveh and sundown took place, he nevertheless is one of those kind of tumas that need to bring sacrifices to, we'll say, finish off the tumah altogether. So until he brings the korbanos, which would take place on the eighth day since his tumah left, or he was shomer nikiyim, he will be on that eighth day before he brings the sacrifices. He's called mechusar kipurim, and the bird after it's been slaughtered is subject to lina. Namely, if it's left over beyond its correct time. Huza dama, with the sprinkling of the blood, chayavim aleo mishum pigul, noiser v'tomei. The ein ba mi'ila. So starting from the end, we see the hazoas adam, the sprinkling of the blood, frees it from the mi'ila prohibition. And likewise, if the slaughtering had been done with an incorrect mindset, so at the point that the sprinkling of the blood takes place, it nails that bird offering into a pigul status. Or if it's if the bird meat is left over after the zrikas adam took place, it's left beyond its time, so one would be guilty of nosar, and likewise it's now subject to the prohibition of tumah. Before going into the Gemara, we have a topic heading on the outside margin. Deos Tanoim, we'll see Tanaic opinions. Binyan Hashpa'osoi Shel Tvul Yoim Al Kochim. What effect does a Tvul Yoim have when he comes into contact with sacrifices? Katoni. We are now going to see a Tanaic quote from our Mishnah. We have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text just to show you where this quote is coming from. It had been taught in the Mishnah, Huchshu liposel b'tvul yoim v'mechusar kipurim u'balina. In dealing with the realm of Tumah, you have can have a situation where something itself becomes rendered unfit, but it doesn't communicate unfitness to something else. That is called Pusel. When something becomes unfit and it is able to communicate its status, albeit one notch down, one notch lower in severity, to something else, that first item is called Tomei. So in focusing on a careful reading of the Mishnah, we infer that since the Mishnah had said Huchshura liposel, after the Malika was done, it becomes subject to becoming Ponifsal through contact with the Tvul Yom, liposel in Avalitumuyelo, meaning the bird offering itself becomes unfit because the Tvul Yom had contact with it. However, the Tumuye, that it should be able to metama something else, communicate Tuma, once it became unfit because of its contact with the Tvul Yom, that it should be able, this bird offering should be able to communicate Tuma to something else, that we do not say. That's, once again, Avol Tumuye Lo. Masni Sin Moni. Our Mishnah is in accordance with which Tanaic authority on this topic? Answer, Rabbonon hi. It represents, the Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbonon, as opposed to two other Tanoim that we're going to see right now. Before going on in the Gemara, just let us point out something structurally. This analysis that our Mishnah is the Rabbonon, this is the beginning of a point. We call this a long point. We have a nun encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. If you follow this onto Amud Beis, you'll notice the point continues till the fourth line from the top. At that point, though, Rava will intervene and say, unlike the opening Gemara, and say that our Mishnah isn't necessarily restricted to Shitas HaRabbanan. Our Mishnah could be understood through the eyes of Abba Shoal or through the eyes of Rebbe Meir as well. These are the additional Tanoim whom we have as yet not seen. Anyway, structurally, Rava represents a Dechia, a rejection of this opening point, and that too lasts a couple of lines. So, at this point in the Gemara, the feeling is that our Mishnah represents the opinion of the Rabbonon only and not that of Abba Shoal nor Rebbe Meir. The Sanya, here is a Tanaic source in which three opinions are featured. Abba Shoal Omer, Tvul Yom, Tchila L'Kodesh. The Tvul Yom, with regard to Korbanos, this, by the way, to the exclusion of other areas of Tumah, where a Tvul Yom is classified as a what's known as a Sheni, a second level Tuma, with regard to Karbonos, with regard to Kodshim, Abba Shoal says Tchila L'Kodesh. Tchila is an expression which also can mean a Rishon. Therefore, using the explanation that you see in Tosfos at the top, Tosfos says Tchila L'Kodesh V'Noga V'Oichol Kodesh Oisoisoi Sheni. If the Tvul Yom touches Oichlin, food that's sanctified, he, the Tvul Yom, will make the first item he touches into a Sheni Latuma, the Sheni Shlishi, the item that he touched will make a second, another item of Kochim. If the two food items touch each other, the Sheni will communicate Tuma to the next one, making it a Shlishi, and Ushlishi Ravi. And it goes down to that level. So you have a type of hierarchy or ladder, a descending ladder of Tuma levels. But as far as Abba Shoal is concerned, the Tvul Yom, as we said, which in general has a Sheni Latuma status, with regard to the realm of Kachim, he is viewed as a Rishon Latuma, hence meat that he touches, sacrificial meat that he touches will become a Sheni. That meat, in turn, if it touches other sacrificial meat, will make it a shlishi, and the shlishi will be able to make something else of a sacrificial nature into a revi'i. We continue on the top line of Omid Beis. Rabbi Meir Omer, mitame es hakodesh upoisel es hatruma. Rabbi Meir is of a differing opinion. He says that the tfuyom, if he touches a piece of sacrificial meat, so he will impart to it the ability to metame one more piece of kochim, but that's it. In other words, it doesn't continue as far as Abba Shol would have had you believe. And with regard to truma, a tfuyom, if he contacts a piece of truma food, the truma is the tithe separated for the kehanim, so he renders the truma unfit, puzzle, but that's it. The truma that's unfit doesn't affect something else. V'chachomim oimrim, and this is the opinion that we're to really to focus on at this point. They say, the chachomim say, k'shem shehu posel mashke truma v'eichle truma, just like a tfuyom renders unfit truma beverages and truma food, kach hu poisel mashke kodesh v'eichle kodesh. So too, he renders unfit beverages that are of a sacrificial nature, as well as food, meat that's of a sacrificial nature, or meal offerings. However, for them to communicate tumah any further, that's what's conveyed by the expression poisel, mashke kodesh v'eichle kodesh, and that is just like our Mishnah. Our Mishnah mentioned regarding the chatas of, after the malika is done, it becomes subject to being nifsal through a tfuyom. Nifsal, but not nitmo. Omar Rava. At this point, Rava rejects the claim that our Mishnah is to be understood only according to the Rabbonan, or the Chachamim. Rava's purpose is to show that our Mishnah could be understood according to Abba Shol and according to Rabbi Meir. Omar Rava, La Abba Shol Nami, Male Osu Bekotshim, Shavinu Rabbonan L'Tfuyom Kirishon. Meaning, Mido Raisa, a Tfuyom merely is Posel Kodesh, and he's not Mitame. And that's what's reflected in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah represents the Doraisa level of things. The Tanaic source that featured the three Tanaic opinions that we just read, that is what is explained here, Ma'ale Osu B'Kochim. That means a stringency was imposed in the realm of Kochim, whereby they made the Tfuyom like a Rishon Latuma, a first level Tuma, thereby opening up the possibility of a Sheni Shlishi and Revi'i. But that's what's called a Ma'ale, a Chumrah, a stringency concerning Kochim. However, just to repeat ourselves, the Mishnah that spoke about the Tfuyom being a posel of Kochim, that is true on a strictly Doraisa level without the additional rabbinic restrictions. Continuing, the Rebbe Meir, Ke'oichel Sheni. According to Rebbe Meir, the Rabbanon made a stringency on with regard to the realm of Kochim, saying that the Tfuyom is like a Sheni level of Tuma. Once again, as far as Rebbe Meir is concerned, Midoraisa, the Tfuyom only passels Kochim. On a rabbinic level, there is a Chumrah, and that Chumrah is that they view the Tfuyom as second level tuma of by food, which communicates tuma one more level. If you'll notice the Rashi on the upper part of the narrow lines, the Rabbi Meir Nami Mitartza Masnisin. According to Rabbi Meir, the Mishnah can also be explained or rectified with regard to Rabbi Meir Shita. Masnis dehai de ka'omar mitame es hakodesh, that which Rebbe Meir said in the Tanaic source, the Braisa that we just read, that a Tfuyom is Mitame Es HaKadosh to Ovid Le Shlishi, that the Tfuyom makes the Kodesh a Shlishi, and it stops there. Upoisel Es HaTrumo, that's Mida Rabbona, that's a rabbinic stringency. Avomidoraisa Eino Ela Poisel Me'achar Shetoval. On a Torah level, since he was Tovel, since this person immersed himself in the mikvah, is only waiting for sundown, he, on a Torah level, doesn't create tuma, but simply renders the immediate thing, item that he touched, as being posel, and it would stop there. Continuing in the Gemara, Lerabonon, Kevon de Tovel, according to the Rabbonon's understanding of things, is that since the individual that had been Tomei immersed himself in the mikveh, kolash tumaso, his tuma level is weakened, and therefore posel mashvi Tomei lo mashvi. He makes the kochim that he touches posel, but does not impose any level of tuma to them, which would have thereby enabled the tuma to be passed on to the next, to another one item. That far, even the Rabbonon, even on a rabbinic level, according to the Tanaic authority known as the Chachamim, the Rabbonon did not impose any stringency. Therefore, what do we see from Rava? We see that the Mishnah that spoke about the Malikas Hatasof being Huchsher Li Posel Bitvu Yom, this Mishnah could be understood on a Torah level. And as far as a Torah level is concerned, all the Deos of Tanoim would agree with that. So the Mishnah doesn't have to be restricted to only one Tanaic authority. Huza Dama Chayovin Ole Mishum Pigol Noiser V'Tomei V'Ein Bo Mi'ila. We learned in the Mishnah that once Hazoah was done, the sprinkling of the blood of the Chatas Of took place, it is no longer subject to Mi'ila. The Gemara asks, Mi'ila hu deleko aval isura ika? The implication is that there is no Mi'ila violation. However, there is some type of isur, some type of prohibition in eating it. Ve'amai. Why is there any prohibition? Homa moina de kehanim hu. Once you do the sprinkling of the blood, it becomes the property of the Kohanim, and it is theirs to eat. So why is there this inference that there is some kind of prohibition? The Gemara answers, Om Rabbi Hanina, L'yotzin, V'Rabbi Akiva hi. The implication here that the Mishnah says, the implication of the Mishnah that there is some type of prohibition, is because you're dealing with a bird offering that after it was Nimlach, after it was slaughtered, before the Zrika Saddam took place, or the Hazoah Saddam took place, it was taken out of the Azorah. And this is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. The Omar Zrika Mo'eles Liyotze. Rabbi Akiva, the opinion that we learned in our previous Shiur, in the previous Perek, sprinkling of the blood of a sacrifice that improperly left the Azara, the sprinkling is nevertheless effective in removing the Mi'ilah violation. However, it doesn't go so far as to say that you can eat it. Delav bas achilahi, you cannot eat that meat. Even though we say that there was some level of effectiveness with regard to the sprinkling, which ordinarily under kosher circumstances the meat could also be able to be eaten, not so in the case of Yotze. Hence, there is room for that which is inferred by saying there is no Mi'ilah, but there is Isser, there is a prohibition, and that's because we're talking about a case of a Chatas Of that left the Azorah before the Zrika Saddam took place. And that is all in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. It just so happens there's the opinion of Rabbi Eliezer, who's another Tana, who would say that there still is a Me'ilah prohibition. That's why it's important here to note that the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva that says that the Zrika Me'elas Liyotse, the Zrika is effective with regard to Yotse, but only insofar as removing the Me'ilah prohibition. You notice that we have a slash mark in the Gemara, indicating that that which follows is a new trend of thought. On the outside margin, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading, whereby we combine the topic heading and structural note into one. The diamond highlights Rav's name. We will see in the Gemara Machlokes Rav Huna of Rav Ada Bar Ava, B'divrei Rav, two later Amoraic opinions as to what Rav says, I Mitsui Chata Sa'if Ma'akev. Does the Mitsui treatment of the bird sin offering, is that binding? Now, let's just say a word or two about this topic. First, let us make note of the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Hey Pasuk Tes. We've included this pasuk in the inside margin for your convenience, and it reads as follows: V'hizah midam achatos al kir hamizbeach. After the malika is done, the slaughtering of the bird sacrifice takes place, the bird sin offering, and we have to emphasize sin offering as opposed to an ola bird offering, the sin bird offering, or the bird sin offering. There is a hazos adam. We'll refer to that as a sprinkling of the blood. And the pasuk goes on to say, "V'hanishar badam imotzei el yisod hamizbeach chatos hu." The remaining blood, after you did the sprinkling of the blood, and the sprinkling of the blood is done by, while holding the chatos bird offering, you sprinkle, you do a waving action where the blood leaves the body of the bird and is sprinkled on the mizbeach. After you did that, the Mishnah, the Pasuk makes reference to yimotzei. That's a process whereby you take the bird, after you did the sprinkling, and squeeze its neck to the wall of the mizbeach. That's called mitsui hadam. In fact, in modern Hebrew, you see the term mitz used for juices. In order to get the juice out of fruits, you squeeze mitz, similar to the word mitsui. You squeeze out the juices. So mitsui is a second stage, if you will, of blood application when dealing with the realm of the Chata Sa'of. So the issue that we deal with here is that second stage, that Mitsui, a binding stage, or maybe not. And if you say not, then we will be telling you that all that has to be done in order to enable the Chata Sa'of to be a kosher sacrifice is the Hazah, and we can forego the Mitsui. The Gemara. Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav. Mitsui Chatas Of Eino Ma'akev. The squeezing out, the second stage of the blood application when you're dealing with a bird sin offering, is not binding. The Tani Rav Huza Dama. Rav learns the Mishnah as having said Huza Dama. That is the text that you find in our Mishnah as well. Rashi explains on the second line under the Gemara, Detani Rav Huza Dama. Demidikotani b'masnisin gabi chatos, from the fact that with regard to the bird sin offering, it says Huza Dama v'lo kotani mitza dama, and there is no reference to the mitsui, the squeezing out of its blood. Almost v'olei l'tana b'masnisin, we would conclude that the Tanaic authority represented in our Mishnah is the Hazal Iker Umitzu L'Ma'akev, that the primary blood application is the sprinkling, and that the Mitzui, the squeezing out, is not a binding feature. That's the first opinion within Rav. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Ado Bar Ava Omar Mishmei de Rav. Rav Ado says, in the name of Rav, Mitzui Chata Sa'oif Me'akev, that the squeezing out of the bird's blood after the hazor is a binding stage. V'toni Rav Mitza Dama. And Rav, according to Rav Ada, Rav's version of the Mishnah, has Mitzui stated therein. Rashi points out, V'toni Rav, we're looking at Rashi about the sixth line under the Gemara text, V'toni Rav, Bimas Nisin, Gabi Chatasof, Rav has in his version of the Mishnah, and this is only according to Rav Ada's opinion, he has as the version of our Mishnah, Gabi Chatasof, Mitzah Dama, that Mitzah Dama is stated, V'lokotoni Huzah Dama, without stating Huzah Dama. The Sfirah de Mitzah Nami Iker Mitzvah Havya Uma'akev, to convey the idea that the Mitzvah is also a binding feature. My guess from Rashi is that the Hazah is self-understood. That's what the Pasuk says, so the Mishnah doesn't have to make reference to that. Let us continue in the Gemara. You'll notice we have a marking, a volcano shape, and this is explained on the outside margin. The volcano represents Kushos al Rav Huna. These will be questions on Rav Huna's approach. He was the first approach, the Omar Mitzui Chatasov Eino Ma'akev. So we'll be challenging Rav Huna's claim that the Mitzui is not binding. You'll see question number one here, and when we get to Tes Amud Aleph, four lines from the top, there will be a question number two. So the Gemara asks, Toshma, the Pasuk says, V'hanish'ar b'dam yimotzei el yisoid ha-mizbeach chatos hu. Bishlamo l'rav Ado bar Avo, things will work out smoothly for Rav Ado bar Avo, who said that Mitzui is ma'akev, is binding. Hainu dichtiv v'hanish'ar b'dam yimotzei chatos hi. The Pasuk, in fact, says that the blood that's left after you do the Hazah, you then do the Mitzui, and upon doing the Mitzui, it is now proclaimed, is declared a Chatos. So you see that in order to achieve the label Chatos, you have to do the Mitzui also. Ela l'Rav Huna, mai v'hanishar. But according to Rav Huna, who says that the Mitzui is not me'akev, why does the Pasuk bother even referring to the balance of the blood that's left after the Hazah? The Gemara answers, Kidesanyo debe Rabbi Shmuel, She'im nish'ar, as in the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel, they have a Tanaic source that says that if there is blood that's left, then you do the Mitzui. However, if there isn't any left, so it's not something that's binding. Umay chatos hi. Well, then, how do you explain in the Pasuk the reference to it becoming a chatos? And that seems to be stated after you do the Mitzui, it then becomes or labeled a full-fledged chatos. So we answer Aresha, the label of Chatos Hi goes back, reflects back to the beginning of the Pasuk that speaks about the Hazah. In other words, the Pasuk said V'hizah midama Chatos, and on that the Pasuk concludes by saying Chatos Hu, telling me that the Hazah is Ma'akev but not the Mitzui. Omar Le Rav Acha Brei De Rovo Le Rav Ashi Elo me'ato. This being your approach, or this being the approach to the psukim with regard to the chatasof, let's transpose this approach, gabi mincha, to the case of the meal offering, dichti v'hanoseres. In the case of the mincha, there is a handful that of flour of meal offering that's taken and placed on the Mizbeach, and then there's Vehanoseres, that's that which remains. So, Hachi Nami, are you going to say that just like by the bird offering, you say Vehanishar means Im Nishar, so Vehanoseres, which would be the parallel Pasuk by the meal offering, Hachi Nami She'im Nisvaser, that if there are Shirayim that are left? Before going further, we have a note on the outside margin, the nosei, Hevdel bein shiurei dam chatos, dainu dam shel mitzui. We're going to see if there's a difference between the balance of the blood, the leftover blood that you find by the chatos of, that's the blood that you would do mitzui to, the lo ma'akvi, v'shiurei mincha de ma'akvi. In the case of the shirayim of a mincha, to make sure there is a shirayim that is binding. So Rav Acha says that if you are going to learn the case of the chatasof, the mitsui, as being if there is blood left, then do mitsui, and if not, it's quite kosher anyway. Using that logic or that approach to the psukim, when you come to a meal offering, you'll find that you run into a big problem. The Gemara again, we second line from the bottom, Gabi Mincha Dichtiv Hanoseres Hochi Nami Shiim Nisvaser. Are you going to say the same approach that was taken to the that Rav Huna takes to the Chatasof and say, well, if something is left over by the meal offering, and if you try to say, yeah, that's right, that the shiore mincha, the balance of the mincha after the handful is taken, is not something that is binding, that it has to be there, well, that's just wrong. At the top of Daf Tes, V'hotanya, we have a Tanaic source that points out that the shirayim of a meal offering, of a mincha, are essential. It is essential that it remain, that it be there. For Tanya, the pasuk says, "Misolta umishamno al kol levoinosa." That's a pasuk in the case of the meal offering. Prat shechisra silta, vechisra shimno, vechisra levoinosa. To the exclusion of a meal offering where there is a lacking in the solus, in the flour, or a lacking in the oil, the shemen, or a lacking in the levona, the spice that is added. That's added to the meal offering. What do we see? We see that if you're going to take the approach that was cited by the Tanya the Bei Rabbi Shmuel, She'im Nishar, and apply that to a meal offering and say, well, if there is Shirayim left over or balance or remainder meal offering, but it's not actually binding, that is simply untrue. It is binding. So the Gemara answers, Amri, hosam ksiv vehanoseres. In the case of the meal offering, there is an extra expression. The expression vehanoseres appears twice. Kro yisero ksiv. The extra posuk is here to tell me that it is binding. That's a phenomenon that you have with psukim that seem to be repetitive or doubled. The doubling is to show that it is binding. In the case of the mitzui of the chatasof, you don't have an extra posuk concerning which we could say it's binding. Therefore, it's not binding. That's, once again, the blood of the chatasof, the mitzui of the blood, is not something that's me'akev. We ask, Mosiv Avua de Shmuel le Rav Huna. Avua de Shmuel, the father of Shmuel, raises an objection against Rav Huna. Once again, Rav Huna said that he quoted Rav. Rav Huna had said that mitzui chatasof is not me'akev. Well, we have a Tanaic source that reads echad chatasof echad olos ha'if shemolkan u'mitzo daman. Whether you're talking about a bird sin offering or a bird ola offering that you slaughtered and did the mitzui hadam to, chutzlim komon posel vein bokoris, if you did the Malika and Mitsui with a wrong mindset concerning place, it renders it unfit, but would not carry with it a Kores penalty. However, Chutz Lizmanon Pigul V'chayavim Alov Kores. If you did the Malika and Mitsui with an incorrect time mindset, it would make the bird offering into Pigul, and anyone who eats it will be Chayav Kores. Katoni Mias Mitzodomen. It says in this source, which you can see we've dashed underline, Mitzui Hadam. And it's said in the context of the Chatas Of. This is Avur de Shmuel's Kasha against Rav Huna. The Gemara goes on with an answer. Who, Moisiv Lov, who Mefarek Lov? Avud Ishmael raised the question, and he also answers it. Litzdodin Kotani. What does that mean? So we glance at Rashi, just across a couple lines up from here. Litzdodin Kotani. The Shemolkan, the expression Shemolkan, Mashma Atravayu. Malika is the sacrificial method used for slaughtering bird offerings. That molkon is going on both expressions, both types of bird offerings. However, umitsa lokoi ela a'ilas ha'if. The mitsui hadam goes only on the ola bird offering, the less bay hazo ela mitsui. By the ola bird offering, there is no sprinkling. There's no waving it from a distance. There's only the pressing out. Avochatasov, the Iko Hazor, a sin offering brought in a bird form, where there is, as we saw in the Pasuk earlier, there is a Hazor that's done. Me'achar shelo pigo b'hazor, lo motzi mefago b'mitzui, the mitzui ene ma'akev. If you did the Hazor without a pigo mindset, and then you did the mitzui of a chata sa'of with a pigol mindset, it wouldn't take effect, because that act of mitzui is itself something that could be done away with, is not binding. And therefore, mindsets during non-binding acts have no significance. The Gemara continues, Gufa, Tona debei Rabbi Shmuel, She'im Nishar Badam. We just saw this above. Or actually on Daf Ches on the base, you can see we have a little arrow to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text. And you can align this with an arrow back on Daf Ches on the base, and you'll see the arrow there that points to Daf Tes on an Aleph. This was the Tanaic, the Brisa taught in the Yeshiva Bishmuel regarding the Mitzui Adam and how the Mishnah is understood according to Rav Huna, that if there is blood left, she'im nishav adam, mashma, that the shirayim are not me'akev, or better yet, the mitsui hadam of a chatas ha'of is not me'akev. The Gemara asks, v'ha tana debei Rabbi Shmuel hasam, the yeshiva of Rabbi Shmuel have a Tanaic source in Maseches, in the context of Maseches Vochim, and which says shirayim me'akvin, the Omar Rav Papa mitzui chatas ha'of iko binayu. The according to Rav Papa, you have the this source understood that says shirayim me'akvin is the basis for saying that the point of difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel in Maseches Vochim is an issue concerning the shirayim as being me'akev. And namely, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Shirayim is Ma'akev. Now, that having been said, you now have the Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel a moment before, at the beginning of the line, She'im Nishar Badam, showing us that the Mitzui is not Ma'akev, the Shirayim are not Ma'akev, and this Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel suggesting that it is Ma'akev. Is this a contradiction? The Gemara answers, Trei Tanoi Aliba de Rabbi Shmuel. These two frame sections represent two different later Tanaic opinions as to what Rabbi Shmuel actually holds. So there is not a contradiction, but a Tanaic controversy as to what Rabbi Shmuel's opinion is with regard to the Mitzui Chatsof, which is done with the shirayim of the blood after the hazor was done. According to one opinion within Rabbi Shmuel, that it's simply unnecessary, it's not binding. And according to the second opinion, it is. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.